Folks, it's good to be at the house of the Lord today, and I'm glad that we can come together and we can worship Him in both spirit and in truth. And we want you to pay heed to God's word with us today. If you have a copy of God's word, turn with us to Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. That's Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And I want us to consider how short our time is. We're living in the last days. The Bible says that there'll come a time, said they'll not endure sound doctrine, but they will raise up teachers unto themselves because they have itchy ears today. We're living in those very times today. I hope you realize that, and we need to be about God's business. Can I get a witness on that? We need to be about serving Him and doing what we can. And I have a message over here that I haven't preached in many years, and I've been preaching over 40 years, so I've preached a lot of messages. But what is that in thy hand? What is that in thy hand? Listen, the Lord has gave us tools in which to serve Him. And He's gave us implements that we can go out and serve Him. And I'm glad today that God gave us a unique service. He gave us a personal ministry that's unique to you and those around you today. But I believe that somewhere we've neglected those things which God has given us today. See, I told you fellas, you ought to got up here and sing. Said, what is in thy hand today? I want you to think about that just for a moment. And as we read over here in Exodus chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, listen at this, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you gave us your precious word. And Father, the message that you have delivered today, Father, we pray that you'd use us as an instrument today. And Father, that it might be dear to the hearts of those that are here, Lord. And that you might touch them in such a way, Lord, that we might be about your business today, Lord. And we pray that we'd leave here. And Father, that we would carry your word even unto the furthermost parts of the earth, Lord. And that you'd be blessed by this, Lord. And we just pray that you'd go and be with us. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Beloved, as we think about this just for a moment, and Moses was asked, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. Now, Moses used a rod. I want you to realize today that at the Red Sea, when he delivered Israel from the hand of the Egyptian, the Bible says that he held his rod over there and that the seas divided themselves over there and that the children of God walked across on dry land. I want you to know today that God has gave us instruments over there that will help us as we go through the journey of life. You'll also find that Horeb over there, that when he came over there at Horeb, he said that there was no water, but he used a rod to bring forth life-giving waters. If you'll remember in the Bible over there that he said that I want to demonstrate this, and he threw that rod on the ground and it turned into a serpent. So God has gave us instruments to profound the world today. I want you to note today that God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get a witness on that today? I want you to realize that Christ died once. You'll find over there that if we're not careful, we can use the things of God in an improper way. Are you with me just for a moment? Hey, listen, you can use the things of God in an improper way. I want you to think about that just for a moment. If you look over there in Numbers chapter 20, Numbers chapter 20, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 20, I believe that it's verses 7 through 12. It says this right here. Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, and he said, take the rod, and gather thy assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock, behold their eyes, and it shall give forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth them waters out of the rock, so that thou givest unto the congregation, then thy beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, now that you fetch you water out of the rock. And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod and smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses there, because thou believest me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I giveth unto them. The misuse of the things of God kept Moses out of the promised land. The misuse of the things of God kept a congregation of people out of the Holy Land, the promised land. I tell you, if God has given you something to work with, you better be careful how you use it. Hey, listen, I see folks over here that God has gave them the gift of prophecy or exhortation or preaching or whatever you want to call it. They misuse that gift of God. I tell you, that's serious business. That's serious business. Now, why did he tell him to speak to that rock? Instead, he went and smited it with that rod. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ died once. Amen. That Jesus Christ died once. We don't have to go back to that rock. That rock was sufficient unto that day, and all that we've got to do is call upon the name of Jesus and thou shalt be saved. Hey, listen, it's not by the hand of man. It's not by the craftiness of what he puts in our hand, but it's because of what that rock has already done that we can have salvation today. And that kept him, my friend, out of the holy place. So what's in your hand today? We're going to have you look, if you will, over there in the book of Judges, chapter 3 and verse 31. There's a man named Shamgar, S-H-A-M-G-A-R. And Shamgar, what is in your hand? Well, the Bible says, then Judges chapter 3 and verses 31, let me find that over there. The other day I got to reading and Judges was falling out, and I had to glue Judges a little bit right there. So, but I believe she's in there good now. Judges chapter 3 and verse 31 says this. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anah, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. Say that one more time. An ox goad. G-O-A-D. And he also delivered Israel. Now I know what some of y'all are thinking. What in the world is an ox goad? Well, I'm here to tell you what an ox goad is. It's a sharp pointed stick that you would prod oxen with. That is an ox goad. Some of y'all probably You modern day cowboys know what one of them electric sticks is. Boys, if they'd have had them over there, he could have slew thousands, couldn't he, you know? No, he just had a plain old pointed stick. And it was to make the ox go where they wanted to. And he was a farm boy over there. Now, I'm going to tell you, what did he have in his hand? He had an ox goad. Now, Shamgar had an ox goad, and he used it against the enemy of God's people. And the Bible says that he slew 600 Philistines and delivered Israel. Now, you know, David over there, we'll get to him just in a minute. He just went down there at the creek and found him 3 smooth stones. I believe one of them is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, but that's a different story. Little is much when the Lord is in it. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something about Latter-day Saints over there. We're going to see things. We're going to experience things that we had never thought we'd ever see or experience. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord might not have gave you much, but what he gave you is sufficient unto the hour. What God has gave you over there to work with and what God has gave you to fight with is equivalent to what he needed. I believe that in God's supreme plan, if he can give a man over there named Shamgar, and he give him a no-pointed stick over there, and he can go out and he can slay 600 Philistines over there and deliver, I believe that God can give something in your hand to fight the battle. And my friend, I'm going to tell you today, you're in a battle. Whether or not you want to believe it or not, there is a war on Christianity in America today. And say, well, I don't know about that. Hey, there's been one since the mud seals of the world was opened up. There's been a battle against the things of God. Hey, listen, the Apostle Paul said that the spirit of Antichrist is with us. He said over there, I want you to know that there's a world is an accelerating against the cause of Christ in the times that we're living in. And God might not give you much to fight with, but Shamgar had nothing but a pointed stick. But he, through that, he was able to fight the battle and win that day. Now, beloved, I want to call your attention, if you will, just in a moment. How many of you women like to crochet? And you like to knit, and you like to make quilts, and all of that stuff. I tell you, y'all've got the patience of Job that can do that. I'd hate to think what some of us men would make if we had to do something like that. Think about it just for a moment. You know, I know I've seen folks, I know my wife, she'll make these quilts, and you know, it's nothing for her to take 6 months doing a quilt. That drives me crazy. Oh, but when you get through and you see all the detail and all the work that took place and everything, it's a work of art and it's something to be admired. Beloved, I want you to look in the book of Acts chapter 9. I want to tell you about a woman named Dorcas. You know, we used to hear that word a lot, Dorcas. And I might be saying that wrong, but hey, if I'm wrong, I'll be right. Listen, Dorcas, what is that is in your hand? Look in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. And the Bible says, and there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabea, which is interpreted to be called Dorcas. This woman was, listen at this, was full of good works and alms deed which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and she died. And when they had washed and laid her in the upper chamber for so much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa and the disciples had heard, and Peter was there, and he sent them 2 men desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went up to them, and he came, and they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the windows shut, and they were weeping and over the sewing of the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and knelt down and prayed and turned him to the body and said to Maya, arise and open her eyes. And she saw Peter and sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And he had called the saints and the widows and presented her alive. Now all Moses had was a rod. Shamgar, she had an ox goad. All Dorcas had was a needle. You know, a lot of times you think, well, you know, I'm not doing too much for the Lord. All I've got is a little needle over here. What in the world can you do with a little old needle? Notice that the whole community was astonished at her handiwork. Y'all been to funerals where they'd hang Granny's quilt up? Or if they were a painting, they'd do that. By the way, there won't be nothing like that at my funeral. I'm not handy at nothing. Or maybe the wood carvings, the work of their hands. How many of y'all believe that in death your works will follow you? You better believe that. Listen, I'm going to tell you a heresy that's preached in Baptist churches today. How many of y'all have ever heard this heresy? Well, we'll stand before God and give judgment for all of our sins. Nothing could be further from the truth. My sins were dealt with at Calvary. Can I get witness on that? Hey, listen, I can't add a thing in the world to what the Lord's already done at Calvary over there. I'm glad today that it was dealt with at Calvary. Well, why will we stand before God? God said that we'll stand before Him for reward's sake on what we've done for Him after we got saved, and our works will follow us in death. You need to be about God's business over, because it pays to serve the Lord. There's rewards in serving the Lord today. Listen, Dorcas over there, she had physically died. And the Bible says that Peter and the disciples came into the house and gathered all the pretty garments, all the sewed things, and they brought them together and sat down and prayed before the body. And I reckon someone got a hold of heaven up there and they rung over there, and God went down over there and He woke up, and the Bible says she sat up. Now I'd have probably left the building. Amen. How about y'all? All right. Would you have had faith to stay? Amen. I tell you, that's kind of, I don't know, how many of y'all remember back when we used to sit up with the dead? Y'all remember sitting up with the dead? Hey, listen, that still happens some. You'd go over there and you'd sit up all night. I've stayed here by myself in this church because someone wanted them to lay in state, and I've sat there and slept on that pew, and they sat there and slept in that box, and we both got a good night's rest. We didn't bother each other, and that's the way we liked it. Done it a few times. And I never could figure that out because they ain't going nowhere. They ain't going nowhere. But anyway, I want to go back to this to say that. Dorcas had a needle. Now imagine the great stack of clothes she had made and how she was admired. Now Dorcas was dead, and they sent for Peter. Now, and when he came, they exhibited all the works that she had done with her needle for all to see. I want you to think about that just for a moment. We might not leave many physical works behind, but how will you be remembered? Amen. You ever go down to the cemetery and read the epitaphs that's on the tombstones down there? That's a word that I learned a long time ago. I just like to use that. That means what's written on the stone. Epitaph. You ever go down there and read some of them? Some of them are plumb strange. Amen. I actually saw one the other day, and it's in a local cemetery, and I'm going to tell you what. But this old boy blowed himself up. With, you know how redneck boys are? Used to, if we didn't blow up something, maybe there's something wrong with the, what was going on over there. And this old boy readily blowed it up, and they put on his tombstone, he should have known better. It's all their foot. Should have known better. That could fit a lot of tombstones down here, couldn't it? Should have known better. But you will leave behind the work of your hands. You know, I think about some of the people that have been impressive in my life and have made a difference in me and my life. And that work goes on from generation to generation to generation. So my question to you today, what's in your hand? What will you leave behind? What have you sewed with your needle and made an impression on life over there? How will you be remembered? A lot of people say, well, it don't matter. Yes, it does matter. It matters to another generation. One of the number one problems, I'll speak to men just for a moment. One of the number one problems in America today is that youth do not have a positive male figure in their lives. Youth does not have a positive male figure in their life. So many women are having to raise their family. There's the absence of fathers. So many fathers are out of place over there. So I'm challenging you men in this church. You be a dad where you can. You fill in that gap that's so needed in America for young men today. No wonder over there that, you know, how in the world can I preach the gospel and convince them of the fact that there is a heavenly Father who loves them, that there's a heavenly Father who sent his only begotten Son and died for them when they have never, ever experienced the love of a Father here on earth? It's challenging. And I'm going to tell you, it's challenging in Clay County. But when you get into the inner cities up there, that is a pandemic problem in the inner cities today. Absence of a male figure in a child's life. David, the Bible said over there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and it goes all the way from verses 31 through 51. Of course, we don't have time to read that. But the Bible says that David had a sling in his hand. Now, David came down to see his brothers in the army. And he saw this giant defying the armies of the living God. And he got plumb sideways over there. Said, who do that fella thinks he is? He said, I'll whoop him. And hey, listen, I'm paraphrasing, but I ain't got time to read 20 chapters to you. But Samuel the king was in his tent. And no one would come out. Saul was in his tent. And no one would come out to face this great giant. Now the Bible says that David was a ruddy fellow. Ruddy. That means he was kind of red-faced, pockmarked, probably a little bitty feller over there. Didn't look like much at all. And he said over there, as this little ruddy, pockmarked feller come out there, and he said, somebody ought to whoop that feller, and I'm your man. Saul looked down there, and he probably shook his head. Oh, my gosh. Saul was willing to lend David his armor and his sword. But David said, I appreciate it, but I can't use them. And can you imagine what Saul stepped back and said, son, it's probably going to take more than that, but I tell you, I don't know about you. He said, for those things have not been proven. And he went back and recalculated how that he had killed a bear, how that he had killed the wolves, and how that he had proven the things that were in his hand opposed to the things that man was trying to entice him with. Now there's a lesson in that for you just for a moment. Listen over there. That David went out against a giant in the name of the Lord, and with a simple slingshot, he killed that giant. Remember, little is much when the Lord is in it. Listen. How many times has the Lord proved himself to you through what he has put in your hand? You, the best thing that we can do serving the Lord is quit thinking. Amen? We get in trouble when we go to thinking. And, you know, as long as we're led, as long as we're following, but when we get ourselves involved and we start thinking and we let other people start thinking for us and start preparing us in the way that they think it ought to go instead of the way the Lord, I tell you, you're headed down a road to defeat. There's victory in what God puts in your hand. And I'm going to speak to you just for a moment. What's in your hand? A lot of us got a Bible in our hand, do we not? Some of you just said, I knew he was going to ask that, but I shouldn't have left mine at home. Well, that's your instrument. Use it. The word itself speaks of itself. It said it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It said it's able to divide asunder. From the bone, from the marrow. One of the reasons churches, we're in the mess we're in over here, we quit using our Bible. Amen? Yeah, we won't have preaching today. We'll have a program. Church, I tell you, programs are pushing Christ out the door in churches today. So he put a Bible in your hand, just like he put a rod in Moses' hand, just like he put an ox goad in Shamar's hand, just like he put a needle in Dorcas' hand, just like he put a sling in David's hand. He put a Bible, then use it. Say, how do I use it? Well, I'm glad you asked. There is nothing on the face of the earth more powerful than the Word of God. Amen. Listen, there's power to heal. There's power to eternally save. Listen, medically, this book right here can do much more than the greatest medical institutes in the whole wide world right here in this book. This is something that makes eternal difference in people's lives. Hey, listen, when I see someone saved, I know that's an eternal act of God over there, that all the devils in the world can't erase that, and that it will be there forever. That's much greater than what they can do at the hospital. Some of y'all been sitting there so long, you probably got a sore spot because of that right there. It wasn't supposed to go that far. You got money. That's a tool. As a matter of fact, that's the only purpose it has. Your money has no value until you spend it. Has no value whatsoever. It's if you've got money in the bank, it's just a number in the bank. That's all it is. And you've got to have faith that it's worth something or it ain't worth nothing. Amen? You've got money. Use it. You say, are you up here begging money? That'll never happen at Moss Memorial Baptist Church. Because I want to tell you something about money. You heard it here first. God don't need it. He don't need it. What do you give somebody that's got everything? You can't. God ain't broke. You won't hear that many places. But God asked us to use our money so that he might in turn bless us for its use. That's the only purpose that God has for it. That's the only use that God has for it. So here, what's in your hand? Well, you've got a Bible, you got money, and you got a talent. You say, I can't do nothing. Well, God don't save nothing. He saves something. Amen? Amen. You were saved for a divine purpose. God gave you a spiritual gift. And sometimes, not all the time, he gave you a talent that might enhance that spiritual gift. Hey, listen. God leads you to sing. I'd advise you to sing. You say, well, I ain't got no ability. God likes it if no one else did, or he wouldn't have told you to sing. Listen. I'm going to tell you something about pastoring church. I've been doing this a long time. 10% of the people do 90% of the work. And 10% of the people take 90% of the pastor's time. Now, I'm going to let you figure out where you fall in that. I'm going to leave it right there. But we need to be about the Lord's business with our talents. These people in this, I believe that these people in this church over there that are talented cooks, amen? And listen, I've got diabetes to prove it. God gives you talents. You know, a lot of people say, well, I can't preach. I can't either. I can't sing. I can't either. But I'm going to do the best that God gives me the ability. If he's in it, I'm for it. We need to be about doing God's business and the talents that God's gave you. These folks in here that can teach Sunday school, don't teach Sunday school. I hope God convicts your heart. There's folks in here that need to be taken apart and stepping up the plate and asking God, have you ever asked God, what would you have me do? Not what I want to do. What would you have me do, Lord? And I'll tell you, if God speaks to your heart, God tells you what his purpose over there, don't you worry about being prepared. He'll prepare you. And he'll give you the tools. He'll give you the means by which to do it. You know, there's big money in this preaching. I don't know if you know that or not. Sound like someone's preached before. Listen. No, listen. I love preaching so much. And I tell you, I'd pay you folks to come up here and preach for you. I love to preach the gospel. I don't have to go home and ask myself, Lord, what would you have me do? I know what the Lord would have me do. And I'm satisfied to the point that it's beyond words. I remember when the Lord first called me, I run for it for 7 years. I almost died about a dozen times during that, you know. You're talking about stubborn. Oh, my gosh. Stubborn. Tried to satisfy the Lord with this and tried to satisfy him with that. And I tell you, he's not happy. He won't take less than his will. God spoke in your heart and he tells you that this is what you need to do. Don't. He ain't gonna be happy doing anything else. My best advice to you, do it. You got a talent, you better do it. And I'm running out of time, and I'll tell you something. If you got a talent, I've seen the Lord take it away. I've seen people's testimony marred to the point that they no longer have it. It's a serious business when you don't use what God's gave you and you don't apply what's already in your hand. Remember, y'all come on with the song some kind. Remember, you've already got that Bible, you got that word. And I like what the psalmist David said about that I might hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against God. So you don't only have it in your hand, you got it in your heart. You got money? Glorify God with it that you might reap the rewards of that. I'm not going to tell you how to spend the money. God can tell you that. Talents. Lord, if you've got a talent, don't do like those foolish servants. Don't go hide it in the ground. Make an investment in the Lord that it might receive dividends. Page 85, if you're able to stand and would like to. During the invitation, page 85. We're going to ask that you to come. Sing it. Y'all remember the old song, Wasted Year? You can waste your life away and do nothing for the Lord. And I'll tell you, that's a miserable way to live, doing nothing for the Lord. Or you can invest in Him today and you'll reap the dividends of serving Him. I tell you, it pays to serve the Lord today. I don't care what anybody says. Hey, listen, you're looking at the richest man in Clay County today. Amen. You're looking at someone over there that God has blessed beyond measure. You're looking at someone over there that, hey, I can't think of a thing in the world that I need that I don't already have. And I want you to know today that, and it's all because when you invest in the Lord, He'll invest in you. And you'll reap benefits and dividends. Hey, listen, if your marriage is in trouble, hey, the best place to start is not that relationship, but the relationship with Jesus Christ, amen. Because I'm going to tell you, two people that's got a right relationship with Jesus Christ, that other will take care of itself. I want you to know today that if you're having financial problems, you come and put it in God's hands over there, and God can make a much out of little. He can take something and make or nothing and make something out of it. Listen, God's speaking to somebody. Will you come as we sing one more verse?